welcome to Section 9. My name's Damian Hull.
And I'm Dorothy. And I got a new computer set up and a new desk. And today we're going to be telling you all about how we put all that together, the issues we encounter, and everything that we learn. So do you want to explain what happened?
So I decided that our setup was not good enough for us because we're trying to do lots of things with our projects and you didn't have a place that you could call your own. You were just kind of squeezed into the desk setup that we had, which is next to your rack with all your Cisco equipment and all your other projects, and there's keyboards all over the place.
Well, I think the harder part was it wasn't so much being squeezed in is that I really didn't have a workstation. I had my workstation where I had my lab. So I had all the switches and everything, the router with my laptop and, you know, my monitor and everything. And it was really chaotic. I mean, you couldn't really move one thing without knocking the other one out. So Damian decided to kind of improve on my setup. And I love every minute of it. But like we spoke before, when you're trying to buy items to put something together, you know, within the plan of what you're trying to achieve, you end up making mistakes. You end up buying some things that maybe they don't go with things. So why don't you take us through the whole experience, how you decided, you know, why did you choose what you choose for my workstation? And then some of the issues that we run into.
Yeah. So again, we're looking for something that's going to work for us. And I already had for the desk setup, I have an upright from UpDesk, and the upright is kind of unique among the standing desks. So this is a standing desk. It's powered. You can sit, you can stand, you can adjust it to whatever height you want. It's powered. There's buttons you push to change the height. And what's unique about this desk is that you can write on it. It's like a whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, let's go ahead and get one for you because you're gonna like this desk. Once you start using it, it's pretty amazing how the writing part of it is something I use all the time, especially when I edit the show.
And, you know, I remember when I first suggested that you get one because I had watched a video in Hack 5 and they kind of introduced them in there. And they were talking about how you can use the wet dry, you know, the markers, the ones that are kind of semi-permanent that you would have to get water to wipe them out. So they stay there if you wanted to do a calendar. Or you can use the ones that you just kind of write and then you can just wipe it with a little eraser. So it's really versatile. You can use both wet and dry eraser pens or whatever you call those.
Yeah, so I got you one of those. And then I said, okay, what about a monitor? We need to get you a nice monitor. So I went with the Dell 34-inch widescreen monitor. We'll have all the actual, you know, part list and everything else for that. So, but this monitor is, we thought it was going to be, you know, jumbo size. Well, you can't really tell from the picture, but you know, when once we got it, it was like, wow, this thing is huge.
Well, one thing I want to say, let me tell you, no matter how you look at the picture, it doesn't do justice to this beautiful, like wonderful resolution monitor. I mean, it's like, it's amazing. And it, you know, it's long, but I mean, the graphics is just like, it's amazing. So even if you look at the picture, you're never really going to have a true understanding of how nice it is. And even the size, you know, because the box looked humongous, but then it was really elongated and it kind of curves. But you know, when you sit it down, it's not one of those things that you're really disappointed because it's too long and not tall enough. Let me tell you, it is awesome. I just love it.
And the thing that I think is kind of interesting about monitor selection here is that when we looked at some of the options that were out there and you look at the recommendations, a lot of recommendations are expensive. They're really expensive. They're like above $1,000. So when you go to buy this monitor, and one of the things I like about Dell is that for our purposes, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the total cost with the monitor arm, because if you go to Amazon where I bought it, you get a recommendation for the monitor and the monitor arm. And that's less than $900.
Well, what is nice about, you look at the monitor arm and you don't think it's going to be able to hold that huge of a monitor, but it actually does. And the range of flipping it up and down and sideways, and it is amazing, you know. So when you look at it, don't look at the monitor arm like I did and went, that's not going to hold that thing, you know. And then you show me, so talk about how it adjusts. I really like how I never knew that the arms adjusted like that. So can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so all monitor arms will adjust. Now, you have to be careful. So when we purchased this one and attached it, it wasn't adjusted properly. So what happened was the monitor just kind of sank onto the desk. And then we read the instructions and figured out where you're supposed to do your adjustments. And then once we adjusted that, it sort of tightened up whatever's inside the monitor arm so that it can actually hold the monitor right where you leave it.
So it has one arm. It looks like an elbow, right? It looks like an arm with an elbow. So you have the part that would be the front part of the elbow where it meets, you know, the elbow meets the wrist. And then you can do tension on that. And then there's a standing arm that goes like from the elbow to your shoulder. And that is kind of what's hooked on the desk. And there are ways that you can actually put specific tension and also make sure that you have mobility so you can actually kind of center it on your desk. But then you're also able to turn it all the way around to go up and down with it and then flip it, you know, like a pancake kind of thing and be able to look underneath for your HDMI and, you know, different kinds of, you know, what is it, the display ports and everything else that has in it. So it's really very handy.
Yeah. And one of the things that I was thinking about is, okay, we're going to be doing projects more often at some point when we have more free time. And you're going to be sitting there for 2, 3, 4 hours at a time, possibly. And you don't want to have this monitor that kind of is just kind of okay. Because sometimes I think when you have equipment like that, you get eye strain and it's not comfortable. And you want to kind of walk away after a while. With this one, it's really nice and you can sit there for long periods and at some point you're going to get tired and you're going to want to walk away. But, you know, just looking at the screen, I mean, it's pretty clear. So the eye strain is going to be less than if you had something cheaper.
And you know you want one, don't you, for your station? You know you want to treat the one that you have. I thought yours was impressive. Oh, but I'm telling you, after seeing mine, it was like, mine. I love it.
Yeah. And so the monitor that I have is a Dell monitor as well. Mm. It's an older one. And I was really happy with my purchase when I got it. And this is the thing that you have to think about when you're buying stuff. Mine is really old, but I got it years ago and I got one that I thought was going to be really good for me. I think it's a 28-inch monitor. You know, kind of the.
How old is it? I don't think it's really old.
It's not really, really old, but it's several years old. I've had this thing for a long time.
Had it three years?
No, longer than that. So that's kind of the thing I'm trying to get at here is that when you buy something that's going to be of quality, you're going to end up keeping that thing for a long time. Yeah. And it's going to be hard for you to justify getting something new because this works so well. So like in my case, my monitor is still really good. But when I see yours, it's like, ooh, I want one.
But you know, this one is going to be really nice, your old one that you have. We can put it on the lab to be able to plug in our Raspberry Pi and different things that we can configure on that. And it would be really nice to see.
Yeah, and we'll have to see how we're going to do that because I know the monitor arm doesn't really work on that desk because it's a plastic desk. You can't really clamp anything to it.
Oh, I hadn't thought about it. But that came with a base as well.
And that's something we may take into consideration. We may just take that and get the base out, if I can find it, and then just put it there and then stick it on the lab side of the
One thing also about my monitor, I mean, we got the arm, but it does come with a nice base. So if I didn't want to have it on the arm, you know, I could put it on the base. The thing is, I like the arm because like Damien said, the desk that I have, I can write on it. And it's so nice when you're taking notes as you're doing a project or you're just writing something down that you don't want to forget. Take a picture of it with your phone. You have your notes, you know, so it's nice.
So let's move on to the rest of the toys we got you. And this is where the really fun part comes into play. We're going to talk about your computer and what we got for that.
But before you do that, you got me an up and down desk. The mat was amazing because I have a lot of trouble with my feet sometimes standing for long periods of time and because I have little feet. And the mat, yours was nice, I thought, but mine, you can't even feel the hardness of the floor. It's like standing on this really cushy pillow. It's really comfortable. So what kind of mat was it that you got me?
It was the one they recommended for your desk. So we should explain what the mat actually is.
Okay.
The mats go with your standing desk because you're going to need some sort of cushion for your feet to stand on. Because when you're just standing there on hard floor, that can get tiring. You don't think about that. But even for me, like, I don't always stand on my own mat, but you need something there to cushion your feet, to kind of get rid of some of that fatigue you have while you're standing at your desk.
Yeah, because, you know, for the one at work, you know, they got me one of those generic up and down desks. I can't write on mine at work. But they got it, you know, I got this, what is it, $12 mat at Costco. And I thought, oh, it's cushy. It'd be really nice or whatever. And, you know, I've been using it at work, and it's nice for my legs and my feet. But the other day when I stood up for a little bit to play on my new desk, it was unbelievably comfortable. So it was amazing. It was like, you know, thick and just comfy.
Yeah. And your desk and your mat and everything is kind of an upgrade to the one I have, because mine's older. And I noticed when we put your desk together, it has better cable management. There's a power bar attached underneath the desk. Your mat is thicker than the one that I have. So I think they really did a nice job of figuring out that the old stuff wasn't good enough, and they added the extra stuff in there without charging you more. And it's really nice.
I think actually they listened to the people and they really put in a lot of time and effort on doing their desk. I mean, I'm surprised in the short period of time from when we got yours and then this one that they've done so many improvements.
It's really nice. I like that. So let's go ahead and talk about your new computer, because this is where we had a lot of fun. Well, it was frustrating because we were learning as we went. So when I decided to do this, I thought, okay, we need a nice computer. And there's two reasons why I want to do this. One, I had never built kind of a fancy gaming computer for different things. And we're also going to be using it for virtualization and other things. And it's nice to have an actual workstation, or, you know, something that's not a laptop that we can use for things we want to do where we leave it on all the time. And it's also going to be kind of like a backup system. So if my laptop dies, we have an extra system here we can use.
Right.
If your laptop dies, we have an extra system that we can use. If we have projects requiring more virtual machines than we can do with our existing equipment, we have a place to put them. Right. So we have options now, assuming we can get your PC up and running soon so we can do all these things. So I was looking at that, or thinking about that, as part of the prerequisite for building this particular system. The other thing I wanted was to make sure it was small enough to fit in our tiny office. I didn't want something like a full tower or even a mid tower system that's going to have its own little home for space. So you can actually put this on your desk, and while it does take up some space, it's not going to take up the whole thing.
And also, our room is very hot.
Yes, it is.
So we really need to make sure that we have something that doesn't overheat and, you know, it's kind of airy and cool.
So this is going to be, I think, perfect for us in terms of size and everything else, because we went with a Thermaltake Core V1 Mini ITX case, and it's really nice. We like this one. Has lots of space inside for cable management, although we'll get to that in a minute because we ran into some issues there.
Right. Every panel comes off?
Every panel comes off.
Bottom, top, sides, everything. You have access to any part of the inside of the computer.
So when you go and build this thing, which we'll talk about in a minute, it's really easy to access every little part of that case. So when you put in your devices or your components, it's pretty easy to get them in there.
And then on the top, you can actually see what's inside the computer. It has like a clear panel, you know, to where you can see the fans going, the lights, and the cables.
And then we got a Core i7. We have 32 gigabytes of RAM. And then for the video, I got a GTX 1060 with 3 gigs of RAM. There is one with 6 gigs, but we're not heavy on the gaming, so I didn't think we really needed that.
Right.
But I also wanted something that was going to be able to power your monitor, and we can, if we decide to play some games, which I want to test it out on,
mm-hmm.
that it's not going to be one of those things where, gee, I wish I had something more powerful.
Right.
So that's why I chose that. And then we went with liquid cooling, which we'll get into in a minute, because it was the first time I'd ever done something with liquid cooling. And that was something that, you know, I thought, okay, here's my chance to try out liquid cooling. And we talked about this. I said, there's systems that are already pre-made, and they call them closed loop systems. And then there's custom ones. And I really wanted to do a custom one. And then when I looked into that, it's like, wow, that's so expensive.
Okay.
We can't do that.
So when it came to the research and the planning, you know, you already had some things in mind that you wanted to do. So why did you decide, you know, to do this? And then what were you thinking about putting in as an operating system? You know, what kind of, you know, how powerful did you want it to be? Because you mentioned virtualization. So What went into the planning of this and the selection of what you selected?
So first off, I should say that I went to PCPartsPicker.com and I kind of found this by accident. And then somebody that I used to work with, you know, when I mentioned that, he was like, oh yeah, PC Parts Picker, that's a good place to go to. But they didn't cover one of the requirements I had, which was running Linux on the system. They only do Windows 10, mm-hmm. which is fine. You know, they do, well, you could do Windows 10 or Windows 7. It's a Windows operating system. So when you go to pick your motherboard and you pick your operating system, it will tell you if it works with Windows. It doesn't say that for Linux. So that made it a bit difficult. But the nice thing about PC Parts Picker is that you can pick a bunch of components and it will tell you if they fit in the case, if they go with the motherboard, all of that.
If they're compatible.
Right, if they're compatible. So the big issue I had was figuring out if the motherboard would support Linux. So I had to do a lot of research outside of PC Parts Picker, going all over the web, looking at different websites, and figuring out if I could actually run Linux on that motherboard, and then would all the other pieces actually work with Linux, like the video card.
So what did you find out?
So I picked out a motherboard. We're not going to talk about that too much. I'll have that in the parts list.
Okay.
But supposedly our system will run Linux. We haven't tried that yet, but I'm hoping that will work for us. It's powerful enough to do, like I said before, games and virtualization with the graphics card and the 32 gigs of RAM. And then it's small. Like I said, it's a mini ITX case. So it's going to fit on your desk and it's not going to take up all the space, right? So it fits all of our requirements. And then you can run Windows 10 on it if you want to. And we do have this thing maxed out with all the hardware. There's more SATA connections on the motherboard for more hard drives. Right now we have your M.2 card. We have two SSDs in there. And then on the motherboard, there's space for two more SSDs or SATA drives if you want to put them in there.
So we have the two SSDs are 240 gigabytes, right?
Yeah. And then I think the M.2 card was like might have been 250.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember how much space is on there.
That thing is tiny. Wow.
But yeah, so we'll talk about the issues we had later on. But
that's
kind of what I was doing in terms of research. And it took me almost a month to figure out what components to get. And I went back and forth on different things. And again, the biggest issue I had was trying to figure out, can we run Linux on this? Will it support that? And it took a long time for me to figure that out.
So, okay. So last night we started building the computer, right? So
the day before that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, seriously, like having a lot more time because we were both working. We had to go to work the next day and we wanted to get it all done and we got really excited and started putting things together. But it wasn't until yesterday that we really started kind of getting into trouble because we did put the CPU on. Let's see. And we did, what else did we do? We put the CPU on and the little storage.
Right. And we did the M.2 card, which is on the backside of the motherboard.
Right.
We did the RAM. We did the CPU.
Plugged all the cables on the power supply.
Right. We put all the cables on the power supply. It's one of those modular power supplies where you get to put in the cables you need.
And we installed the power supply.
And we installed the power supply. And we watched a lot of YouTube videos to see how certain things were supposed to go onto the system because we don't do this for a living. We don't build computers all the time.
Right.
So,
and we did put the memory in as well last night or the night before.
Yeah. So we had to watch a lot of the videos because my issue with building things and anytime I do something with hardware, there's always a chance you break something. And so I want to make sure that I see how somebody else does it. Because again, we don't do this all the time. So we watched a lot of videos to figure out, okay, how do we get these things connected? How do they go in there? What are we supposed to do to install this particular component, like the processor, the fan,
right?
You know,
and one of the things that for me, you know, when we have the gigabyte server that we have, then I was able to put memory and install a hard drive, but I never really built a computer from scratch either. So we kind of had to, and you know, you were always telling me, make sure you watch the video several times. So if you're not really understanding how it's done, you know, for that very purpose, then it's really important because, you know, Damien's right. If you break a piece of hardware, it's expensive. And if you damage your motherboard alone, then, you know, it is amazingly difficult to be sitting in there and eat those kind of costs and not feel like you're just burning money. So we were really careful, like I said, putting the basics on. And then it got really late. And then we were looking at the cooling system and we weren't really sure of things. So we left it until the next day.
So, yeah. Well, we actually went to the store the other day because we started some of this the previous day. So let's talk about the issues we had. Let's start with the cooling. And what did I say about the cooler once we took it out of the box?
It looked really big. It was humongous. It was huge. And Damien wasn't really sure if we were going to be able to fit it in the box. We watched a video and it looked like someone had actually made it fit by bending the cables. They looked like little ears, you know.
So the cooling system has this, what I consider to be a large radiator, and that's where the cooling happens. And then there's fans go on it and all of that.
So you had to put a fan in the front and then put another fan in the back and then fit that into the box with these humongous cables. And then the bottom part looked, you know, what did it look like to you? Like one of those landing things?
Yeah. So that's the heat sink that goes on top of your processor.
Right.
And so two things here. One, not the heat sink, but the radiator piece goes in the front.
Right.
And there's a space in the front for that. It actually says on the instructions for the case that you can't actually do liquid cooling. If you go to their website, you will see that. Now, I think what happened, and my mistake here, was that I bought a radiator that was a little too big. And then I didn't get one with, I guess they have like ones with rubber hoses that are more flexible than the one we got.
Right.
So that was an issue because you couldn't really bend them into the case. It was kind of hard to get that to fit inside.
Yeah, they were
inside.
Like cloth. Like
they were just stiff.
Yeah, they were really stiff. And not only that, one of the major problems that we saw is when we put it in to try to fit it, just the front part of it without putting in the sink, we realized really fast that the rest of our cables, there was really no room for them. They were going to be like so cramped and probably kind of pushed or squashed by this thing, to where we decided we weren't going to use it. And it was so sad because it was so pretty.
So we went to a local computer store and the guy there has the exact same case we do.
In white.
Yeah, he got the white one. We have the black one. And so we told him what we were trying to do. And he's like, yeah, that's not going to fit. So we told him, yeah, it does fit, but you don't have any room for anything else. Your power cables you can't squeeze them in. So he said, just go with the generic heatsink fan setup and you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So we got that. Dropped it in, and it's so much better because we have room for things.
Oh, and for an i7, he recommended the one that has to have copper on the bottom part of it.
Yeah, well, you have to match the heatsink to the processor and socket.
I get it, but I would have not known that. You know, being a newbie, if I would have gone in there, it would have not occurred to me to say, hey, you know what? We have an i7. I don't even know why I mentioned it, which I said that to the guy, and he goes, oh, so for the i7, you will need the copper thing. And then it was already, the glue was open. Cooling glue thingy, whatever it was.
The thermal paste
was already in there applied to it. So all you needed to do was kind of push it in. So it was interesting for me to realize. And I had read it somewhere once upon a time, but it didn't sink in until he mentioned it.
And I didn't get a chance to look at the setup they had at the store, but you did. And you saw how he did all of his cables.
Oh, the cable management was beautiful because I said to him, especially with the trouble that we had with our cables, there's a lot of room on the bottom part of the box, you know, the mini ITX that we have. But he just had the cables just flowing onto one side, clipped, poof, done. And I was like, wow, it was amazing how it was really nicely done. And it just, there wasn't anything in the way. You could see the whole entire thing from the top.
And we're going to have to figure out how to do that. Because one of the things I like about PC Parts Picker is that people take pictures of their systems.
Yeah.
And they'll take pictures, especially if they have like a window in there, they'll show you what they have in there. And it's all nice and neat and all the cables are in you know, organized. What? We were arguing about this for, you know, 15, 20 minutes trying to figure out how do we make it look like these pictures?
Yeah. And you know, I did ask the guy, I said, how did you get the cables so clean? I mean, cable management looks so nice. And he looked at me, he goes, I have been doing this for like 35 years, lots of practice. That's what he said to me. But I think for me to be able to do that, I'm either going to have to try to, you know, one of the things that I thought about doing is let's just plug everything into the motherboard first and then plug everything else, you know, the other side of it to the power supply after. And maybe it may be cleaner or easier. But I don't know. Like I said, we have to try different ways to do this.
Yeah. And I think for now, we're going to leave it the way it is. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not really going to leave it the way it is because we've got
to dig it apart.
Yeah. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to have to figure out what works. And then later on, we can try to figure out how to make it look better. You know, we can watch some videos. We can look at some websites on how to do that. But yeah, that's an issue that we're trying to figure out and we haven't figured it out yet.
Okay. So putting in the sink that he recommended, it was a little bit trying. It wasn't really overly difficult, but the post that go into that, yeah, you want to explain
heat,
that?
Yeah. So for the heat sink, we ran into some issues because we tried to pop it in and we watched a couple of videos and mm-hmm. they make it look so easy.
Yeah.
And then we had a couple that when we tried to push them in, they didn't want to snap in like the video. I mean, the video, the guy did it in like, you know, 5 minutes, he was done.
Yeah. And he explained it really well because it was like the fast way to do this, right? So like I said, the post had this little black things on the top of the post and it had an arrow and you had to put it instead of clockwise, you had to go counterclockwise to install it and clockwise to remove it. So we went away from the arrow, like the whole thing said, we set the post into the holes. And then what he said was push the opposite sides at the same time. And we tried to do that. One of them went really easy. The other one, it was like you needed a hammer to put it in.
Yeah. And I said 5 minutes, but I mean, really, you know, 5 minutes includes explanation and all of that.
Right.
The amount of time it took him to snap it in was like, you know, maybe a minute at most.
Oh, right. And then, so, you know, and one of the good things about that video was, and maybe, you know, if you want to, you can put it on the notes, the link on it. What I really liked is that he said, If you want to check when it's in, turn your motherboard around. And if there had two little prongs of clear plastic and then one plastic in the middle black. And he said, if the black part is right up to par with the two plastic things, you know it's incorrectly. And if it isn't, then you really need to work on putting the rest of them to match that kind of thing. So I really liked how he talked about and he explained everything. He didn't miss a beat, but he did make it look a lot easier than it was. And in real life IT, if you've never done it before, really doesn't work that way, at least not for me.
Yeah. So we had to do some adjustments and pull things out and push them back in, but we were able to make it work. Mm-hmm. So that turned out okay. And then the really sad part happened and we were a little freaked out by this because we got it all put together, put all the sides on, took it over to your desk, plugged it into the monitor, turned it on, and the fans didn't jump to life.
No, the fans, well, at first, nothing really happened for a little bit, which on an i7, I'm so spoiled with my Linux laptop. You turn it on, it's like, on, you know, but the fans took a little bit to go on. But the weird part is that we didn't get any video at all whatsoever. We couldn't see anything in there.
And then when we took the thing apart, you know, the sides and everything to see what was going on, we noticed that on the heatsink side, which I think this is actually normal, we just don't see it because we don't have a system where we can watch it happen.
Right.
The fan on the heatsink didn't jump to life right away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took like a couple seconds, then it kicked in. So that's fine. But then, like you said, with the video card, nothing happened. The fan didn't come on. We were like, what's going on? We were trying to double check our cables. We couldn't figure it out.
Because everything was plugged in where it was supposed to be. It was anchored down properly. You know, it's not like it was halfway plugged in or whatever. We went through all the troubleshooting. And then we noticed that, you know, the VGA cable had two little VGA things that you plug in. And I remember you just kind of drilling that on me. If you checked everything and nothing has ever worked, I mean, nothing is wrong, check to see if your cable's right. Check to see if the cable is working. So I thought, well, I'll take this VGA one and plug the other one in. And we did, and boom, the video was on. So that was really good. But we run into another issue. When we were looking, it had this beautiful menu where you could check memory and CPU and everything. So go ahead.
So that's the BIOS. Mm-hmm. And this is a different kind of BIOS than I'm used to. It's kind of fancy looking.
So impressive.
And, you know, I think it's more gamer-like. It's got all these features in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an MSI motherboard. We'll have to double check that and make sure that's the case.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fancy. Mm-hmm. And then there was a hard drive thing in there. So I went down to that. And it says, you have no hard drive.
The storage, yeah.
So I'm like, what's the deal? And then I realized we didn't plug in the data cables for our SATA hard drives or the SSDs. But then it also said your M.2 is not showing up.
It says not visible. No.
Nothing
there. Disable or nothing there, yeah, something like that. Like, not visible.
Yeah, it's not detecting the M.2 card that we installed. So right. So we're thinking that we're going to have to take the whole thing apart because the M.2 card
is on the bottom of the motherboard.
So the only way to get to it is to take everything out.
Right.
But what I want to do before we do that is I want to double check some things online and see, do we need to do something in the BIOS to activate that? And I'm under the impression that it should just work.
Right.
Which means we will have to take it apart. But I want to double check before we do anything, just to make sure. So if we don't have to take it apart, we won't do that.
Well, and you know, if we do, it would be a wonderful experience. Because a lot of the times when we're putting things in the slots, Damien's always saying, don't push it in too hard. You can bend the pins. Don't do this. Don't do that. And sometimes, you know, I'm kind of a little shy to push it hard enough. So I'm hoping that the thing in the bottom, you know, the little card, maybe I didn't push it in enough and it's not making that connection. But, you know, we'll do some research before. And, you know, worst case scenario, we take it up, which will be best case scenario because, you know, having to redo it, we'll learn a little bit more about it and we'll get a little more experience out of it. So I'm looking forward to either or. I just, the one thing is, and you know, patience is not one of my virtues. I just want that thing on my desk. I want to play with my monitor, you know, my desk and everything. And I just want to get back into our projects.
Yeah, I do too. So lessons learned here. So for me, the lesson that I've learned here is that even though I've been doing IT, because we're trying to relate some of the things we do here to enterprise IT and security and all of that. So one of the things that I'm kind of reminded here in building this computer is that no matter how many years of IT experience I have, when I try to do something that's kind of outside the normal for me, like building a PC, which I never do, it's one of those situations where I continuously make mistakes because there's so many different options out there. There's so many different things you can do in terms of building these computers. What components do you put in there? Why are you going to choose one over the other? Will it fit with this particular setup that you're trying to put together? So when I bought the liquid cooling system, I thought, okay, we're going to be good. And turns out we're not good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in terms of putting all the components together, there's so many things that can go wrong when you put it together that, you know, even with all my experience in IT, you know, in enterprise IT, you don't build computers. You buy them from Dell. You buy it from HP. And they do all of it for you. And very rarely do you ever even open the system. It's under warranty. You know, maybe you have a spare someplace, you swap it out, you call Dell, oh, it's under warranty. All you have to do is this diagnosis thing. And then if the diagnosis turns out to show you that something's wrong, Dell may actually send somebody out there to fix that system for you. Replace the motherboard or whatever components need to be replaced, do some testing. So you don't actually do anything with that. So this is a new experience for me. Now, I have built other systems in the past, but that was years ago. It was in larger cases, so I had room to shove things in there. And so this was a new experience for me, too.
Well, as a newbie for me, one of the things that was really hard was, you know, when a video didn't explain it well enough, or when the instructions on one of your devices or one of the pieces of hardware that you bought wasn't really clear, and you had to sit in there and go, okay, what does this mean? You know, like the VGA card, or like when we're doing the CPU, what was that? The system.
Oh, right.
Versus so, the fan.
Right.
Yeah.
So every motherboard has a bunch of pins in there where
right.
different cables are supposed to be plugged in for the hard drive light, the fan, the CPU mm-hmm. fan. You know, your power connectors, your SATA connectors.
And they had the system. So they had two systems fan and two, you know, one CPU fan in trying to find those things in tiny little writing. And it was insane to look at some of it. But one of the things that was really cool that I didn't know, and Damien showed me, one of the manuals that we had the scan little picture thingy.
Oh, so the instructions for the motherboard had the QR codes in there on mm-hmm. certain pages. And I didn't realize what that was at first. And then I went, wait a minute, there's a little URL in here with the QR code. Let's scan that. So I went and got a QR code scanner for my phone. We scanned that and then it brought up a video showing you how to
install that specific part.
Right, right, which was perfect for us.
It was nice, though, because it was clean. It was specific to that kind of a thing. So that was really cool. I wish that more of the instructions would do something like that.
Yeah, and again, you know, going back to what you were saying, you know, some of those things are hard to find on the motherboard. The wiring is kind of small. It's hard to figure out what orientation the motherboard is in when you look at the picture. Mm-hmm. So there were a few times when we're trying to put some things together, we're like, are you sure that's correct? Is this the way? Because I don't understand what's going on here. And fortunately for us, we got it together and it worked. Now we just have to figure out what's wrong with our M.2 card and why that doesn't show up. So we may have to go through this all over again.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, I don't mind. I think that after our struggle yesterday with plugging in all of those things, I wouldn't mind going through it one more time. I just, you know, I just want to make sure I do it right. You know, a big part of it is that, you know, I'm wearing that anti-static band all the time. I'm so fearful because one another of the things that they talked about when I went to school in my A-plus class, it's like, if you just have a little static on that motherboard, you could ruin the whole thing. So that's, for me, is a fear. It's a big fear because, gosh, if I do that on something that expensive, I would just die.
Yeah, one thing that I should point out here as well, it's something to think about, is that some of these components don't do well when you take them in and out all the time.
Right.
So like the video card, I think what we're going to do with the video card is we will take it out. Mm-hmm. If we have to remove everything, we'll take it out. And then when we put everything back, we're going to leave that out, use the video that's on the motherboard to check and see, do we have the M.2 card showing up? And then if it shows up, we can power it down, put in the video card, and then power it back on again and have access to our awesome video card with our
M.2.
And
we got the bag, the anti-static bag, that we can still put it in anyway. Because I, you know, if we take it out, I like those bags because to me, it just gives them protection.
And it's nice to save those too for other projects we have. You can put other stuff in there.
You notice that the guy that sold us the sink gave us one of those bags in there.
Yeah.
You know, they always keep there. So, you know, those are very useful. I don't mind saving those.
So I think we did really well with our show so far. I think this is a good recording. I want to just try to do one so we can go and fix our computer. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No.
Do we want to get back to our computer? So hopefully this works out. We're going to listen to it, see if it's good. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at info@section9.us. If you want to take a look at our show notes, where we have the entire list of all the components we used for this PC build, the desk, the monitor, the CPU, the everything, we'll have that in our show notes at section9.us. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.